Okay, today's sugya, I must say, is probably the easiest sugya of the year. Very easy, very straightforward, so let's just do it quick. And I might even get you out of here on time today. Okay, Rabosai, so I gave you six gemaras to look at, and they all are under the rubric of what I will call mazik birshus, where the Torah, Chazal, Bezdin give you a heter to be a mazik. Our sugya, Andav Vav Mer Aleph, is the first sugya of mazik birshus, and here the Gemara tells us that if you have you want to clean out your gutters, so your gutters will run into Rishus HaRabim, so the Gemara tells us that poskin, Biboseim, Bimos HaGashamim, you're allowed to go ahead and send out your water into the Mos HaGashamim. After all, it's wet and it's messy anyway. It's mutter to do so. But if someone gets damaged in the Rishus HaRabim as a result of what you did, you are chayv. So that's an example where it's mutter to do and you are chayv. And again, this is in contrast to many other sugyas that we saw. Here we have, there's no iser mazik, it's mutter, yet there's going to be a chayv. And we've seen many sugyas where you have an iser mazik with no consequence, with no financial consequence. For example, we saw the sugya of Hezek Sheino Nikar, which was an example of that. We saw certain examples of an Isser Mazik, where there's no consequence of payment. Maybe Grummas will be examples of that. You'll have certain cases that you'll have an Isser without a Chiyuv. This is a case of a Chiyuv without an Isser. So that's case number one. Case number two is we have the Gemara Andaf Lamed Amud Aleph, and the Gemara over there, it speaks about Motzi Zvalim. You go in and take out Tevin, Kash, etc. for fertilization, and the Gemara tells us over there that you're allowed to do so, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Bishas HaTzah Zvalim are the Motzi Zvalol V'Sharam, V'Tzovru Kol Shoshim Yom, you can pile it up. In order that, Kadei Shein Misho V'Ragle Adam, so that people will step on it, V'Ragle Behema. And there was a t'nai in Yoshua's Nachla of Eretz Yisrael, giving Eretz Yisrael to the Shvatim, that Yoshua allowed this as part of the t'nai. And then the Gemara says, "Afil tei Rav Yehuda, mod Rav Yehuda shem hizik meshalim." In other words, it might be mutter, it might be butter to do, but if someone gets damaged as a result, you have to pay. So that's a second example of this phenomena. The next Gemara on that same page cites a third example. Those are cases of what we call hezek berishus. There's no mitzvah involved whatsoever, but the Bezdin allowed you to do this dangerous activity. You're allowed to, but if there are consequences, you have to deal with those consequences. And then the Gemara says, what about, but Rav Yehuda says that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, poter, mitnei berishus. By Ner Chanukah, you're allowed to, says Rabbi Yehuda, light your candles, and if someone gets damaged, you're putter. What's the difference? So the Gemara makes a chiluk between Rishus Bezdin and Rishus Mitzvah. When it comes to Rishus Bezdin, so it's a heter with the financial consequence if you mess up, and when it comes to Rishus Mitzvah, it's a heter and you're putter, and there's no financial consequence if you mess up. That's sugya number three. A similar sugya is the sugya on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph of Isi Ben Yehuda. The case of Isi Ben Yehuda, you have a scenario of people, there's a question whether people running the Sharabim, walking the Sharabim, who's high when they go ahead and do damage to each other. And the Gemara tells us that normally the Rutz is high because he's doing something unusual. He's the Meshuna, therefore he's seen as the cause of the Hezek. However, in a case of Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashos, so then Isi Ben Yehuda says that you're putter. The Gemara asks later on, why are you putter? And the Gemara tells us because that's a case of Rutz, Litzorech Mitzvah, you're involved in a mitzvah. It's not just Rishus Bezdin, it's Rishus Mitzvah. And in the case of Rishus Mitzvah, what mitzvah are you doing? Bo Neitz L'Kras Kala, Malkasa, etc., etc. That's called Rishus Mitzvah. And Rishus Mitzvah, you're not going to be chayv. So right now we have four cases. You have two cases of Rishus Bezdin, Mutter and Chayev. Two cases of Rishus Mitzvah, that Mutter and Potter. And then there's two more cases, which we'll call Hatzalah cases. So you have a case on Daf Samech, and there the case is a case of, it's describing the Plishtim and David HaMelech, and the Plishtim were hiding out, they wanted to kill the Jews, they were hiding out, and David basically raised the entire fields, the fields of Sa'orin, to expose the Plishtim and go in and kill them. And the Gemara tells us, did David HaMelech have to pay?
No.
No, he didn't have to pay. Why? Because Melech, Torah is Geder. A Melech doesn't have to pay. A Melech can go ahead and do whatever he wants. It's the rule of eminent domain. But if it was a regular commoner, would the commoner have to pay? The commoner would have to pay. So there, Lechora, is there a mitzvah involved? Lechora, there's a mitzvah involved. What mitzvah?
Saving a life.
Saving a life. Bahem. There's a mitzvah involved. Yet, now all of a sudden, mitzvah and you have to pay. And lastly, is the sugi at the end of the Masechet, Kuf Yud Zayin, if you have a rodev achar chavero, and now you have a rodev achar harodev. And in order for this rodev, A is chasing B, C now wants to stop B, wants to stop A, so in such a case, if he does so, and in doing so, he breaks kalim in order to go ahead and stop A, so the Gemara tells us that he has to... Mi'ikra din, does he have to pay?
Midoraisi
has to pay. He damaged Caleb. However, the Rabbanan said that we understand no one's going to go ahead and get involved if they're going to have to pay, and therefore, Midrabbanan, they don't have to pay, but Minatorah, they would have to pay. So those are two cases of a Rishus mitzvah, Lechora. There's a mitzvah of Hatzalas Hanirdaf, and nevertheless, we say that if damage is done, you have to pay. So the Achronim are bothered and want to try and make some Seder over here. What exactly, is there any, again, we understand Rishus Beis Din, that's a tier where you have to pay. Fine. But when it comes to Rishus Mitzvah, we seem to have a steer. You have two cases of Rishus Mitzvah where you do not have to pay, Ner Chanukah and running Erev Ben HaShemashas for Shabbos. And then you have two cases, we'll call it the Hatzalah cases, where it's Rishus Mitzvah and you have to pay. So what is the what's going on over here? So I asked you to take a look at two achron. We have the Chidushe Anshe Shem, which is found on the margin of the Rif, and then you have a sefer that's also in the back of Yoz Vahadars called the Pu'ulas Sacher. So let's take a look at the Anshe Shem. We're going to start from where he sets up the question. So he writes that where the lines get wide, the beginning where the lines get wide, he says. Vim Kane, Hachanami, Hai Rodev Achar Harodev, Vishibra Sakela, Midina Potter, Debarodev Pershusu, Venucha Mitzah Gdola, Mizu, Sherodev, Hatzan Abishah, Vachene Batais Bishmaitin, Dako Chayev Lahargo, Hatzan Nirda, Vachene Kosvatur, Sharo Osa Chayev Lahargan, Vachene Kosabitos Sanhedrin. So therefore, you tell me over there he's involved in a mitzah. You might argue Hatzalah, saving guy, is not a mitzah. It's not true. Everyone has to get involved. It's a mitzvah. And if so, he's basically asking the question, why then, if he's doing a precious mitzvah, is he going to be chayv? That's his kasha. And what does he say to resolve this question? So he quotes, he says, I asked this question a couple lines down. V'kushyezu hikshesi lahagayin hamanoach abezdin shrav shmuel shatin b'toshut asher kasafti lo bifnim. Shonen ba'arucha v'tiretz. So this was, I asked my Rebbe the question, I wrote him a shaila, he wrote me an answer, and this is what he said. Kefirochav sichlo, v'limi reliyashe b'hod v'kosva mordechai. V'yavir gamke marim beis Yosef, simen shenayin ches, dafka osa mitzvah deben hashmashos, de'en lo shohus, aval b'shar mitzvahs, kegon larutz l'beis ha'knesses, Ola beis medrash the yeslo pnai im hizik chayv lefize yecholim lemeimad lahachi katani hachav alomin adin ibnei da asul ahoros da rod vacharod shibis akelim potter bechol gavna af bishahayelo efshel latzuya latzila miblis viras kelim vizel alomin adin lepatro. As a filachi patr achmana biyav taima shemiyav shalom kain elcha adam shumatzel shiyom a believer tzarch leirid bedina etc. Okay, so he suggests an answer. What is the answer that is suggested by the Anshe Shem? Yeah.
We're only going to tie it. Another way to education when you're educated, but when you if there's no other way to break the kalim, then there's another way to save yourself without breaking the kalim, then you're going to be, and that's why you're chayav, because you're
learning from
the way to save yourself without
the kalim. Okay, so he's making an assumption in the sugya, and he's utilizing what I'm going to call, it's what lawyers would call, the necessity defense. The necessity defense. Is there a mitzvah of running to shul, running to greet the Shabbos? There's such a mitzvah. Is that mitzvah time sensitive?
Yes.
Must it be done now?
Yes.
So there is something that is compelling his behavior to run to shul, or to run to greet the kallah. Is Ner Chanukah a time-sensitive mitzvah? Must it be done now in a certain place, in a certain location? Is that how this mitzvah is done?
Yes.
So by necessity, now there's going to be a clash. There's a clash between the mitzvah at hand and a potential circumstance of hezek. You want to get to the Beis Medrash. Is there a mitzvah to run to the Beis Medrash?
Yes.
There's a mitzvah. Is it a time-sensitive imperative? Sweet Goldschmidt says for sure it is. What are you talking about? Of course it is. But that says a lot more about Sweet Goldschmidt than it says about... Can you learn in your room? Can you learn at home?
Yes.
Can you learn somewhere else? Yes. In that sense, it's not a necessity to run to the Beis Medrash. You can walk to the Beis Medrash. It's a mitzvah. But it's not a necessary mitzvah. And as such, when you have something that is compelling your behavior, a mitzvah that's compelling your behavior, and now that's going to create a clash, so then you're going to be putter from hezek because you have an overriding necessity, I'll call it. Masha ain't came. This is the assumption that's being made. It's questionable. But the assumption is, could you have avoided breaking the kalim in order to save the nirdaf? Was that a necessity? So the suggestion is, it wasn't a necessity. You could have hurdled the kalim. You didn't have to run into the kalim. You could have still accomplished your goal. Indeed, if it was a necessity, and the only way you go ahead and save the person being chased, the nirdaf, would be to break the kalim, then would you have to pay for the kalim?
No.
You would, because then you're in a direct clash. Then it's a necessity. But if it's anything short of a necessity, you could have avoided it, then indeed you'd be chayv. Now, this teretz, Josh doesn't like the teretz. Josh doesn't like the teretz. I'll be honest with you. I'm not in love with it either.
I think it's
a stretch. Go ahead, what do you want to say?
It's more about what Rob was saying in regards to like the time part. In the sense that Shabbos, if Shabbos starts at 5:15, Shabbos starts at 5:15. But for lighting candles on Hanukkah, it starts at 5:18. But you have the entire...
I wouldn't say that. Why? I disagree.
Just because L'chachila is...
No, you have... Yeah, I don't think so. You have that time. Today you might have more time. In those days, Achatikla Ragaman Ashok, that was the time. If you miss that time, you miss the mitzvah. I don't buy that. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say that you still have to do it outside.
That too. You have to do it outside, and there's something compelling. This is the approach. Now, I think again, what's difficult about this approach? What's difficult about it is you could argue it's he's gearing the mitzvahs. He's telling you, first of all, I think you can question: do you have to run to lacrosse college? Could you go and be makabel Shabbos somewhere else, etc.? He's creating a necessity in that fashion. I'm not sure, but that is the approach. That's the approach of the anshei sheh. Comes along, I think, an alternative approach is cited by the Sefer Pula Sakhir. And the Pula Sakhir has the following idea. I think this is a little more compelling. I want to build on this idea a little bit. The Pula Sakhir says the following. Let's see inside, turn the page. He says, Hod de partir mishur resus mitzvah nedavka gom rotzber shabbos amat ner chanaka mi bachutz alib da vihuda le'el v'tam yishun de kevin shahai yoma kagorim Sha'am nitpazim v'ratzim b'shus mitzvah havle l'nizak la'suki adayt l'yishomer yafet l'harchik atzmin ha'nezit The kevin shapasha be'atzmo v'lo nishmar iu da'avzer anashim. Avo b'mitzah ha'mizdamenes la'odom l'sha'ah la'hatzil nirdom yotzibo v'anizach lo yadabeh lo'ham l'meid ha'klav ha'odom ha'mizdam l'fanov v'zocha b'mitzah s'char mitzah v'ev say the delay hu v'char l'hachshir nizka. Says the Pulas Sabbath, which I think is a good teretz, a good teretz. When it comes to running on Erev Shabbos, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, A, is this something everyone's involved in? Everyone's lighting Ner Chanukah. Everyone is involved in Erev Shabbos getting to their Lekras Kala. Once everyone is involved in someone, that's going to shift the burden of Shmir. Normally, the burden of Shmira is upon whom? Is upon the mazik. To do what? To make sure his stuff is not doing something untoward. Well, on Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos, it's no longer a breach of Shmira to run. Normally, during the week, it's a breach of Shmira to run. On Erev Shabbos, it's not a breach of Shmira to run. Is it a breach of Shmira to light fire on Leil Chanukah? It's not a breach of Shmira to light fire near Chanukah, Samach L'Rishus HaRab. That's not a breach of Shmira. As a result, now the burden shifts. Since everyone is involved in this Hatzasas Eish, and lighting fire, so now who has to watch out, who has to be careful? Is the Nizak has to go ahead and be careful. Masha Enken, when it comes to the Rodev cases, what's going on over there? In the Rodev cases? Is it time sensitive?
Yeah.
I don't mean by time sensitive. Is it sensitive? Is it time specific?
No.
It is 100% circumstantial. It's not Friday evening. It's not Chaf Hei Kislev. It is circumstantial. It happens to be happening right now. When it happens to be happening right now, so is that going to shift the burden of proof to the burden of Shmira to the Nizak? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The burden of Shmira is still on the mazik. He's allowed to do what he's doing. And he should do what he's doing. But there's no heter per se. Is there any heter per se of ha'osek b'mitzah patur min hanezikin?
No.
There's no such heter. There's no such heter of osek b'mitzah. What's the heter is that if everyone's doing it, then this becomes normal behavior outside of the scope of Shmira, of Neser Shmira. Now the Shmira is going to shift to the Nizak. And when it comes to Redifa, this is a unique circumstance that's not sufficient to shift onus to the Nirdaf or to the Bala Kelim, to the Nizak. And as a result, the Mazik, the Rodef, the person who's doing the damage, he's still going to be high. That is the Pshat of the Pula Sachir. I want to just take this Pshat and let's add a little spice to it. Okay? I want to just add a little bit to it. And in order to do that, I want to introduce you to a sugya that has nothing to do with our topic. But I think it'll be illustrative, for Derek Mashal, to explain an idea. There's a Gemara in Maseches Beitz Daf Tes. And the Gemara here speaks about a Yontif sugya. And the question is, they used to have these bird nests, bird coops, where they'd have doves, and when they're hungry on Yontif, they'd grab a bird and shed it for Yontif. So the Gemara wants to know, a side question, are you allowed to take a ladder and move the ladder from one bird coop to another bird coop to catch, to get a bird? So the Gemara has a machlekes beishame beisila. Beishame says, ein molichin es asulam, you can't carry the sulam. Beisila says, you can. You're allowed to. And everyone agrees you can like slide it, but you can't pick it up and move it. What's the issue? What's the problem? So the Gemara says the problem is, if it's usher, the problem is a Maris Ayin problem. Because when people see you moving around the ladder, you could be moving around the ladder for one of two reasons. You can move around the ladder to get some birds, which is mutter, or you can move around the ladder because you want to clean out your gutters. You want to clean out your roof. And therefore, that's for Shiras Anyantiv. So Mishum Maris Ayin, the Gemara says, Beis Shammai says, it's Aser. It's Aser. Why is Beis Hillel not worried about Maris Ayin? Because Beis Hillel says, they see the ladder, they see the dove coop, shovcho mochiach alav. It's obvious to the onlooker that he's not doing it for his roof, he's doing it to get birds. Good? Now watch this. The Gemara wants to know, This is all true in Rosh HaRabim. Because in Rosh HaRabim, everyone can see. Marisayin. What about in a Rosh HaYachid? Let's say I got a big wall up. Big walls. No one can see anything. And if the problem is Maris Ayin, can I go ahead and take my ladder, even according to Beis Shammai, and go ahead and get the birds? Because after all, there's no problem of Maris Ayin. So the Gemara cites the following. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Mokom Sha'asru Chachamin Mipnei Maris Ayin Afilu Bechadre Chadarim Aser. Any time that the Chachamim asked something because of Maris Ayin, not only is it Aser where? In Rosh HaRabim, it's even Aser in Rishus HaYach. Wow. Wow. Crazy. And then the Gemara cites a Mishnah. Are you allowed to hang up your clothing to dry in the sun on Shabbos?
Yes.
On Shabbos, you just came back from a torrential rainstorm. Can you go ahead and hang up your clothing to dry in the sun on Shabbos? Gemara says you can't. Why? Because when people see you now hang up your clothing to dry, what are they going to think? You did your laundry, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to hang up your wet clothing to dry because it looks like you did your laundry. And then comes the Gemara and says, not only is it us to hang them up to dry where? Outside. But you want to hang it up to dry in your bathroom? Also usher, according to this man, the Amar, because kol makom she'asru chachamin mishum maris ayin afilu bechadre chadorim usher. It's usher even in prayer. Why? Why should that be? Why should it be usher even in private? So there's a Ran. There's a Ran in Masechus Beitza. And the Ran in Masechus Beitza is a Musa Shmuz.
Oh, yes.
He's a Musa Shmuz.
Like the Beis HaLevi.
And he says, not quite. But he says, you never ever know. You can never ever assume that you're really, really alone. Someone can always find out. Someone's always watching. That's the most important. There's always the guy who's checking into your, what's in your kitchen cabinet, what's in your, there's always the guy, and therefore, the Ron says two pshat. Shot number one he says is, are you ever not, there's no such thing as chadre chadar. Someone's always, can always peek in, and therefore, it's aser. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two is that, well, if you're allowed to do it in chadre chadorim, then you might come to do it where?
Outside
as well. If I can hang it up in my bathroom, I'm going to hang it up on the porch. And that's why it's aser b'chadre chadorim. Now, watch this. Maybe there's another pshat altogether. Come on. Listen carefully. You've heard of Marasai. Are you allowed to go into, in my opinion, classic Marasai? Here's a classic Marasai. Dunkin' Donuts, to get a black coffee. To me, that's classic Marasai. Why? Coffee's kosher, but you're in a non-kosher Dunkin' Donuts. But since there's so many kosher Dunkin' Donuts, what's the onlooker going to think? That this is a kosher Dunkin' Donuts. After all, the guy with the big yarmulke is going in. There must be kosher. So you went in to get the coffee. But he doesn't know that. So he assumes it's a kosher Dunkin' Donuts. And therefore you go in to do what? To get a bacon and cheese. You think it's fake and not bacon, but it turns out to be bacon. And now all of a sudden, you're goyrein pasav and chalav mash. That's Marasai. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you are in, I don't know, Wyoming. And everyone knows that there's no kosher Dunkin' Donuts in Wyoming because there's no frum Jews in Wyoming. There's nothing going on over there. So are you allowed to get a black coffee in the Wyoming Dunkin' Donuts? What are you, Taina?
Yes.
I Taina, yes. That's what I Taina, yes. Because there's no chashash, there's no Jews, and even if they're Jews, no one thinks there's a kosher, this is kosher Dunkin' Donuts. Rabbo said, but wait a second, we just learned, it doesn't matter if people are going to see or not. Afilu b'chadre chadarim, it's us. Chadre chadarim doesn't mean like, you know, Rishus Hayachid, it could be Wyoming, it's also chadre chadarim. So my question is, are you allowed to get a black coffee in Dunkin' Donuts in Wyoming? My answer is, you're allowed to. My question then is, how does that jive with this Gemara Maseches Beitza, which says, "Kol makom shegazru mishum maris ayin, afilu bechadre chadorim gazru." And I think the answer is as follows. Listen carefully. I'm just trying to like, and I'll tie this into our sugya. Just trying to beep in our sugya. Is there's two types of maris ayin. There's one type of maris ayin which I'm going to call generic maris ayin. Don't do things that either will, people might think that which is us is mitter because they see you going into that McDonald's, that Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, and that's going to be cause them to sin, or they're going to suspect you, oh, I thought he was religious, he's going in and eating in a non-kosher Dunkin' Donuts. Don't do that. That's called generic marasai. And then there are certain circumstances, certain cases, where Chazal made a specific gzeira derabon. Why? Mishum maris ayin. This is not generic maris ayin. Don't do suspicious things, because people might think. But rather, Chazal said, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to hang up wet clothing. Why did they say that? Mishum marasai. But what did they aser? They asered hanging up wet clothing. And now when they asered hang up wet clothing, like Chazal do all the time, that gzera is a gzera below plug. We don't distinguish whether you're doing it outside or inside. The reason for the gzera is because of marasai. But the gzera is, don't hang up wet clothing. In other words, it's built in to the gzera, a specific marasayin. When the rabbi said, when Beishamai said, you're not allowed to take a ladder on Yontif, because people are going to think you're going to be doing roofing work. What he's saying is, Chazal understood, if it's Asur Mishlei Yachid, a specific gzera was made because of this concern. But now they have a specific gzera because of this concern, that becomes the gzera. That becomes the takana. So what I want to argue, just to add a little beef to this pula sachar, I'm not saying it's what he's saying, just maybe in other pshat, but using his same idea, is when the Chazal said, light neiros chanuk, birshus samach l'rishus harabim, we want you to light Neiros Chanukah Samach L'Rishus HaRabim. Is that potentially dangerous?
Yes.
Can that potentially yield Eish?
Yep.
Or even perhaps a boar situation if you're in the Rishus HaRabim Mamish? Yes. Nevertheless, Chazal said, do it. And then built in to that Takanas Chazal is what? Is your putter from any ensuing hazard. Any ensuing hezek is now not called your fault. It's on the nizak to watch. And Chazal built in to mitzvahs near Chanukah, that now the burden has shifted into the nizak. Similarly, Chazal is desirous of you running likras Shabbos Malkus. That's what they want you to do. That's a mitzvah to do that. And as a result, into that Takanas Chazal, Ron Likras Kala, is built in a, yeah, and if something happens, it's not on you. That's built into this, what I'll call Takanas Durabanan, to now, when it comes to Rodev, did they make any unique, is there any unique Takanas Chazal to save the Nirdaf? There's no unique Takanas Chazal to save the Nirdaf. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa of the Chai Bohem. For whatever reason, and it's not time specific, it's not date specific, it's whenever it happens. There, Chazal, why? I don't know why, but they didn't give you a sanction. They created, there's a sanction for a melech. There's a sanction d'rabbanan that you're not chai. D'rabbanan. But that's not Minat Torah. Minat Torah, they said, you have a chiv to save. Without any, but the regular rules are in play. With the regular rules in play, so if you mazik someone, you mazik someone. Came on Chazal and said d'rabbanan, because no one's going to go ahead and be matzil, we're going to go ahead and change the rules of the game. But fundamentally, there is a chiv, you have a chiv d'orais to save, and without any, and the collateral damage is on you. That's part of your collateral damage, subject to the tour de Rabban. Is what I'm saying clear? You could argue this is a new pshat. I'm using a little bit of the Pula Sakhir to kind of build it in. I don't think it's what the Pula Sakhir is saying, but I want to introduce this idea that here, maybe Chazal, in the parameters of this mitzvah, near Hanukkah, said you have an exemption. Just like in the parameters of the mitzvah, of the heter, of releasing your schmutz from your gutters into sarabim, they said you could do it. But still, the burden of any damage that ensues is still going to be on the mazik and not on the nizam. Yes, sir?
If mitzvah to save a nirdaf is d'oraisa, shouldn't it be even more so?
No.
I don't get that either.
No. Because there's a mitzvah to save the nirdaf. Absolutely.
So it should be even more so than
what? No, not that. Why? Why?
Because if d'oraisa is more,
you're pairing a nice thing.
It's again, you're being a little emotional, which is okay. It's a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. But did the Torah give you an exemption from the zikah?
Oh, I'm saying
why not? Why not? Because again. Again, I'm using the Pulasach. Neilas Chanukah is a specific takana, a specific time. So as part of that, built into that specific takana, was, okay, now, because everyone's lighting fires, we're shifting the burden on Anisa. That's not true by Rodev. By Rodev, if it happens once in a Yaivo, it's going to happen once in a while, and we're not uprooting the normal rules of Hilchos Nezikin because of a once in a while.
So I understand the specific,
that's why they brought the Rabbanim saying you can't,
do
Isaac, you can punch.
But I understand they're
saying
that
Chakonis Harkonir,
since the
Rabbanim
Harkonir.
The way Doraisas work, again, Doraisas are more general, absolute rules. These are the rules, and until we know otherwise, this is the din. The din is, you have a chiyuv to save a nirdaf. That's one area of halacha. And then there's another area of halacha, Hilchos Nezikin. And those are not crossing on a d'oraisa level. On a d'oraisa level, you have to deal with this halacha, and you have to deal with that halacha. Now the chachamim, because of their concern, that if we make it, that people are not going to, they're no longer going to save the nirdaf, so now chacham said, we're going to recognize that intersection. But the Torah has Hilchos Rodev, and it has Hilchos Nezikin. And the Torah is not exempting you, per se. There's no exemption. You know, these are, the Torah's operating with absolutes. Chachamim now are taking into mind the unique circumstance, the needs of the case. And this, and what I'm saying is the takana, the chachamim, in Yer Chanukah, and in this midst of Likras Kala, Likras Shabbos, there they built in a tour of Nezik. It's a built-in tour. Okay, next. Baruch Hashem. I'm not going to lay out of my hand. Okay, two more points I want to make. Two more points. Okay, Rav Schechter, in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, suggests another mahalach, a different mahalach. And he says nothing to do with what we said so far, a totally different approach. And he notes the following. If you look at all these six cases of Mazik Bereshus, there is another point of distinction. And the other point of distinction is the most obvious case, and he's a little less obvious in one of them, but the most obvious case is the case of the Plishtim. In the case of the Plishtim, when David HaMelech is wiping out this field, is he doing that b'kavana?
Yes.
He's doing it b'kavana. That's being done b'kavana. His assumption in the Sugya of Rodev, when the guy is chasing after the guy and he's smashing into Kalim along the way, his assumption is that is being done b'kavana. The only way I can say the nirdaf is running, flying through these Kalim, so I'm doing it on purpose. What about in the case of our sugya? When I go ahead and I get rid of my, I need to dump my weeds, my excess water into the sharab. Do I have any intention of damaging anyone?
No.
No. Might I damage someone? Yes, not my intention. In the case of running on Erev Shabbos, do I have an intention to damage someone?
No.
Ner Chanukah, do I have an intention to damage someone?
No.
The case of Motzi Zvolit, Inter Sharab, do I have an intention to damage someone?
No.
The key to the sugya, says Rav Shechter, is nothing to do with anything we've said so far. It has everything to do with, do you have kavana lahazik? If the hezek is happening accidentally, shelo bekavana, and you're involved in a mitzvah, so then you're pater. Then you're pater. But if you are being mazik beyadayim, so good, you're osik b'mitzvah. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference whether you're osik b'mitzvah or not. The bottom line is, when you are a mazik beyadayim, let me take it a step backwards. You remember the prior sugya that we learned? Bor ha-misgalgel? Sure you do. You remember the chiluk that was made in Tosis? Tosis says there's a fundamental difference, okay? A guy puts a bowling ball in the Rosh Hasharab, a takola, and you kick it, b'kavana, and do damage. Says Tosis, who's chayiv? The kicker is chayiv. Why is the kicker chayiv? Because he did it b'kavana. Once he does it b'kavana, that trumps any prior actor. He becomes the sole actor. It's your action, you are chayv. That's true when it's done b'kavana. If it's done shelo b'kavana, then why are you sharing the chiv? Let's say I kick the bowling ball accidentally, and then it does damage. So what's the halacha? No, what's the halacha? Then we're chayv b'shutfus. Then the bala takala and me are chayv and shared. Why? What's the difference? So we said, when it comes to something accidental, when I kicked it accidentally, what's your response to me? The guy got hurt. What's he going to say to me? What's he saying to me? When he gets upset at me, what's he going to say? He's going to say, hey, buddy, you should have been more careful. Why'd you do that? You should have been more careful. In other words, the mechayev is your failure to be shomer es atzma. You should have been more careful. When I take aim, I get my punting foot on, I take aim, and I kick it b'kavana right at him with full-blown intent. Is he going to say, hey, buddy, you should have been more careful? I'm going to say, I was very careful. I did exactly what I wanted to do. In that case, I'm not chai because I'm not being careful. Why am I chai? I'm chai because I'm a mazik. Because I did it bekavana, I was mazik b'yadah. And that will eliminate any prior balei hatakala. So over here, when I'm wiping out this field to expose the plishtim, I'm not chai because of my lack of shmira. My shmira was not the point. I'm chayev because I was mazik b'yadayim. In the case of ratz on Shabbos, in the case of Ner Chanukah, why might I be chayev? Because I wasn't properly shomer. But the Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, oh, now it's Ner Chanukah, now it's a mitzvah. You don't have to be shomer in that case. You're not required with shifting the shmira to the nizak. But when you're doing it b'yadayim b'kavana mamish, then it's on you, and you are chayiv. This is the suggestion that Rav Shechter makes. And in light of that, he throws in one last tidbit, which I want to close with. And he says a very famous and fascinating steer in the Rambam. Steer in the Rambam. This is found in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Hei, Halacha Dalet, and Perek Hei Halacha Bav. The Rambam has the following din. We know this din. If someone puts a gun to your head and says, bow down to Avodah Zarah. So what's the halacha? You gotta take the bullet. But you respond. The flesh is weak. I'm not so strong over here. Under the threat of a gun to my head, I can't. My yitzhar gets the best of me. So what do? I bow down to Yavod Zar. Adim witnessed the act. They gave you hasra'ah. And they say, don't do it. You got to take the bullet. And he says, Afa piken aniyosa. I can't help it. I'm doing it. Is he chayv misa for Avodah Zarah? The Ram says no. He says no. Why? Ones rachmana pacha. He's an ines. He's under duress. He's under duress. And therefore he's pacha. That's halacha dalet. He's patim best. Put him best. And in Shemaim. In Shemaim also. He's onus. Onus. He's an onus. He's an onus. He has to give up his life. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But there's no chiyuv in Bezdin for doing the aver. That's the Rambam. Two halachas later, he says the following. A person has a deathly illness. He is dying. And the doctors say to him, you have one and only one cure. What's the cure? Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. That's your cure. And he says, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. So he succumbs. He eats from the Asherah tree, whatever the Avodah Zarah is. He does the Avodah Zarah. And all of a sudden, he has a refuah shleima.
Oh, no.
And there were Adim and Hasra that told him, don't do it. You know what the Rambam says? Yichai Misa is best. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Ezra!
I was a gun to his head, not thinking about the Mona in the Misa of Zoro. So by the medical
situation. So that's the suggestion. It's a subtlety. You have to think about this a lot. But when there is an external ma'anis, there's someone external to you that is putting a gun to your head. That even though you have to give up your life, the halacha is ones rachmana pacha, and you're not chayv best. But here, when the case of the chole, the onus, so to speak, is not external. It's internal. It's internal. Once it's an internal onus, and the Torah says it's us to do Avodah Zarah, and you say, I'm doing Avodah Zarah, that's called doing the Avera Bekavana. You're doing it Bekavana. It's not onus. Onus is something on the outside. If it's internal, it's an internal compulsion. That's not called onus. And if it's not called onus, then you're doing bekavana. You're doing it bekavana. Yes, there might be a big, it's a horror to save your life, but it's internal. That's called a maisa bekavana, and that you will be responsible for. The difference between another example of like the once it's bekavana, that changes the game. I'm going to turn off the recorder because I just thought something in my head, which I'm not going to put online.